Hello and welcome to a new edition of RAI, Argentina to the World in English. This is the foreign service of Argentina's public national radio, broadcasting from the city of Buenos Aires on the frequency of 5,800 kHz via the shortwaves of WRMI, Miami Radio International, and also via internet on rai.com.ar. That's where you can find our programs downloadable as a podcast. Programs in 8 languages, rai.com.ar. And if you want to get in touch with us, send an email to qslrai@gmail.com. I repeat, qslrai@gmail.com. That's where you have to send regular messages and also reception reports. If you are a DXer, reception reports that we reply with a digital QSL card. I repeat, the email address is qslrai@gmail.com. My name is Fernando Farias, and I'm bringing you this weekly lockdown edition of the English language program that I continue to produce from my home studio in the neighborhood of Montserrat in central Buenos Aires, but not from RAI's central studios on my Poo 555. As social distancing measures remain in place in Buenos Aires, and the authorities of Argentina's public national radio have decided and have maintained this decision of keeping the personnel going to the station reduced to a minimum. So only staff and personnel operating the AM 870 radio station are currently working there, and the other stations housed in Maipú 555 are working in remote mode, as it is the case of RAI. But as I always emphasize during this lockdown period, we are very, very active, producing a lot of content, a lot of new original content in 8 languages from home. Check that out on our website, rai.com.ar. On today's program, we'll have an interview with a biochemist, a scientist, a CONICET researcher about the latest developments with regard to the pandemic, the vaccine in particular. And we'll be talking also about the latest news. And the most important thing to emphasize to begin with is the announcement that was made this Friday by President Alberto Fernández together with 5 governors. For the past 2 months, every time there was an announcement regarding the quarantine, which usually was an extension of the lockdown, President Fernández was accompanied by the leaders of the 2 worst hit districts of Argentina by this pandemic. That's to say, the city of Buenos Aires, represented by Mayor Horacio Rodríguez Larreta, and the province of Buenos Aires, represented by its governor, Axel Kicillof. You know, the Buenos Aires metropolitan area, known by the acronym AMBA, A-M-B-A, Área Metropolitana Buenos Aires, in Spanish, is the current hotspot of coronavirus in Argentina, with over 90% of new confirmed cases that this week marked a new record with over 4,000 cases. But Buenos Aires has ceased to be the only hotspot, and there are other areas that were not as badly hit, such as Jujuy, that are now going back to a phase 1 of lockdown, that's to say a stricter lockdown, because, well, one single case ended up generating an outbreak, for example, in Jujuy. And that's why President Fernández gave this press conference this Friday together with the governors of Jujuy, Río Negro, and Chaco, that are currently going through a difficult situation with coronavirus. These three governors were not at the presidential residence. They participated in the conference remotely from their provinces. President Fernandez overall anticipated that as from this Saturday, this weekend, a new phase of the quarantine is beginning in Argentina, which is going to be more flexible, and more responsibility will lie in citizens in respecting social distancing and taking care of themselves, because it's been more than 120 days in lockdown, and many, including the president, acknowledged that there is a social demand for fewer restrictions, despite the number of cases remaining very high. And this has been underlined by the president and some of the governors when they said that this flexibilization, this easing down of lockdown measures may be reversed if the number of cases spikes. And the number of cases this week continues to rise. But health officials say that this may be due to more testing. And they also stress that the number of new cases is remaining stable. It's not doubling. It's not doubling every few days. The duplication rate, the duplication rate of the pandemic overall in Argentina is now just over almost 24 days. And before a stricter lockdown was implemented back on July the 1st, that duplication rate, mainly because of the Buenos Aires area, which is the most populated, was around 16. And this is one of the reasons, not the only one, for easing down the lockdown. The president provided a series of figures. One is the occupancy of intensive care beds in overall in the health system of Argentina, 64%. He also defended the lockdown that was implemented very early in Argentina back on March 20th. And he said everything made sense, nothing was pointless. And he said this when he regretted the number of deaths, over 2,000, but said this number is low if you have a look at other countries in the region, mainly Brazil, with over 60,000 deaths. The president also reminded and he said, if we have to go back to a harder lockdown, we'll go back. This has been the overall message by all governors. We are, easing down restrictions, but this is far from being solved. The virus is far from being defeated. We have to learn how to live with it. And if we have to go back, we'll go back. The governor of Jujuy, Gerardo Morales, that I said took part in the conference remotely, told the case of this jurisdiction that had no cases for 3 months, and then the relaxation, or basically lowering the guard, enabled for zero cases to emerge, and that resulted in a severe outbreak with over 500 cases in a matter of days. And Governor Morales said, may Jujuy be an example to other parts of the country with few cases or no cases at all against lowering their guard with this virus. And these are other news this week. a coronavirus vaccine is to be tested in Argentina as from August. President Alberto Fernandez received representatives of developer Pfizer, and sources say that, if successful, first doses will be ready by December. Buenos Aires City's top health official says 400,000 citizens may have unknowingly had the virus. Fernán Quiroz says that for every COVID-19 case, there might be 10 people who got the virus but weren't tested for it. In this context, the nine provinces authorized to reopen schools after the winter recess that is beginning this weekend. They are Corrientes, San Juan, Catamarca, Formosa, Santa Fe, San Luis, Tucumán, Misiones, and Santiago del Estero, provinces that have no community circulation of coronavirus. In other news, the Amia bombing 26th anniversary was marked and the 85 victims were remembered. President Fernandez held a talk with Dina Siegel-Van of the Jewish American Committee and assured the 1994 terrorist attack wasn't against Jews, but against Argentina. And these were the news on Rai Argentina to the World. And on this week's show, I'm going to be interviewing Dr. Victor Romanovsky, who's the vice president of the Argentine Society of Virology, and he's also a researcher for CONICET, Argentina's top scientific entity, and the University of La Plata. Hello, doctor. Thank you for this.
Good morning. Good morning, Fernando.
Well, the word this week is vaccine. We've been hearing a lot about advances made in the development and the research, mainly of vaccines in several of the candidates around the world. And one of these projects involves Argentina. I wanted to ask you first about this announcement made last week about the tests that are going to be conducted here in the country starting in August.
Well, Fernando, I think it is convenient for us to put this into context. If you check the WHO webpage, you will see that there are 130 plus vaccine candidates. Of those, a little bit more than 20 are in different clinical study phases. And vaccines for the white people, the wider audience, are the means that medicine and research, scientific research, has found to get our immune system prepared to fight a pathogen as soon as it invades our body. The traditional vaccines use killed virus or the so-called inactivated vaccine. And a second choice in these traditional vaccines is an attenuated virus or a weaker virus that is inoculated and it replicates in your body, but in a much lesser extent.
Yeah.
So that your cells express the viral proteins in the same way as in the real disease.
Yes.
And so the immune system is presented with the viral proteins that are important for the defense to mount, okay?
Yes. This you're talking about the second generation vaccines in which the patient or the subject is inoculated with a weaker version of the virus to build up the immune response.
Yes, I don't know if you remember or many in the audience remember the polio vaccines. The first vaccine was a killed virus vaccine, which is just a regular virus cultivated and then killed. And this killed virus has the structure of a live virus, but it cannot replicate in your body and cause any disease whatsoever. And the weak virus, it's like the saving version of the anti-polio vaccine, which was used as an an oral vaccine. Mm-hmm. Remember, droplets put in the mouth of school age children.
Yes, absolutely.
This attenuated virus is much more immunogenic than the killed virus vaccine. And now these new generation of vaccines that we are seeing as a major development in vaccinology these days is based on the same concept. We have to inoculate cells with something that instructs them to build viral proteins, but without causing any disease. The vaccine you were talking about is an mRNA vaccine. Mm. Let me explain a bit.
This is the vaccine that's going to be tested here in Argentina, you refer?
Right. There are several initiatives that are based on the same principle, and they are all close to hitting the phase three, which is the last stage of vaccine development before going global. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Unlike the attenuated virus, we only inoculate the person to be vaccinated with a very short sequence of the genome of the virus. And this portion of the virus goes inside the cell, and the cell protein production machinery uses this bit, the messenger RNA, as the blueprint to make viral proteins. So that the cells expose these proteins, and the immune system sees them in the same way, much in the same way as during the natural infection. It is very efficient in mm-hmm. eliciting antibodies.
Mm-hmm. But it takes time.
Sorry?
Is it from what I read, preparing for this, or trying to prepare for this interview, I mean, this is a development process that takes a lot of time, or several months, to be completed.
It's a short process if you look at it in the view of the historical development of vaccines. The traditional vaccines take tens of years to go from the idea to the product.
Okay.
In this case, why we could speed up the process? Why? Because we are using the same platform that can be used for any viral protein. We only have to change the code. We only have to change the information that is within this RNA molecule, the ribonucleic acid molecule that uses the viral protein synthesis machinery to produce the right protein, which is a foreign protein. It's not encoded in our genome. So we introduce an extra bit of information, and the cell uses it to produce the protein. The alternative way of vaccinating using molecular biology tools was to synthesize this protein in a bioreactor. This means that in addition to having the coding sequence for this protein, we had to introduce it into a cell or bacterium or any other host that would be suitable for mass production, and then wait until the protein is produced, purify the protein, formulate the vaccine, and use that as an inoculum, as a vaccine to elicit antibodies in the population. Mm-hmm. This is a much longer process and much more expensive one. Mm-hmm. We are cutting the vaccine production to the first bit, only producing the molecule that codes for the protein.
Mm-hmm.
and packaging this molecule, the mRNA, into a lipid capsule.
What is that?
Well, you have to protect the RNA so that it is not degraded by enzymes in your body before it reaches the cell.
Okay.
You cannot inoculate naked RNA because it's very labile. Mm-hmm. It's being degraded. One of my professors used to say that RNA is so labile that you just look at it and you see it breaking apart. So that this is why you have to encapsulate the mRNA.
What is the, for this specific, the vaccine candidate by Pfizer and BioNTech that is going to be tested in Argentina in August, what is the roadmap for these trials? Well, thousands of people are going to be inoculated with this in August, and then we are going to be seeing results, positive or negative, around when. And when, I mean, the wide public is obviously wondering, if this is successful, when am I going to be able to get a shot and be immune to coronavirus and get back to normal?
I cannot see the future. I'm not an astrologer.
Of course.
I can guess. To make this into a perspective, to put it in a perspective, the sequence of the messenger RNA for the coronavirus surface protein could be synthesized immediately after the Chinese scientists published the sequence for the new virus.
Yeah, that was
this
in January.
In January. So the researchers that developed this vaccine didn't have to see the virus at all. They didn't have to manipulate the virus.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have to use high biosafety containment to produce the this vaccine candidate. First, they had to test it in laboratory animals, see what is the outcome of this vaccination, analyze it, try to make calculation of how much of this vaccine would be necessary to immunize human beings. This was a preclinical phase of the research. The phase one clinical trial is the first trial with humans. Less than 100 volunteers were inoculated, and then the levels of antibodies that were detected in those vaccinated people after, let's say, 2 weeks, 4 weeks, and 6 weeks post-inoculation were evaluated. But I forgot to say that the first thing to evaluate in a vaccine is its safety, mm-hmm. which means that it does not produce any disease, does not produce any
secondary effects,
at least not very significant.
Yeah. Okay. And we are going to know that after several weeks.
We know that already.
Oh, we know that already.
We know that already. And so far, more than, I don't know, I think it's more than 10 or 30,000 volunteers were vaccinated in Germany and the U.S. since April.
With this Pfizer vaccine?
With this Pfizer vaccine, yes. Okay. The Pfizer-BioNTech, yes.
And they haven't presented any serious secondary effects, that's what you're saying?
Right, the secondary effects was a slight headache or maybe a redness in the site mm-hmm. of inoculation, which is nothing compared yeah, yeah. to the disease.
Of course.
And also there is another initiative which is based on exactly the same principle. It's the Moderna NIAID, that's the National Institute of Allergies and Infectious Diseases in the U.S. They also went for this same strategy. And so that we can also have a reference on a similar vaccine that also has been advancing during these past months. And in all of the cases, both in the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine and in the Moderna vaccine, the researchers claim that depending on the dose, these vaccines, experimental so far, elicited 10 to 20 times more antibodies than those, the levels seen in infected people.
In cured, in survivors.
They had the virus and mm-hmm. they cured.
Yes. Yes.
So that the immunity of this, or immunogenicity of this vaccine is even better than having the COVID.
Mm-hmm. Of course, we don't know yet how long this immunity lasts.
Simply because not enough time has elapsed.
Yeah, exactly. And, well, you told me that 30,000 people have been... were volunteers for the trials in the US and Germany, and now they're moving on to other countries such as Argentina. Why is it necessary to test it in another country? And in, do you know how many people are going to be volunteers here in Argentina?
I'm not sure that several thousands of people are. Targeted as volunteers. It's exclusively voluntary to get the vaccine. And why? Why different countries? Because the ethnicity could play a role. We have to collect a larger number of data from a larger number of individuals from different ethnic backgrounds.
Really? Ethnicity can play a role in the response of the system?
Well, I'd call it ethnicity, but it's a genetic background, actually.
Of course, yeah. And the environment, the geographic environment, the weather, you know, the temperature, would that affect also the effectiveness, the efficacy of the vaccine? Is that also tested?
In my view, weather and temperature, environmental conditions have little or no effect at all.
Okay.
Normally, people think that a cold weather is an important factor to respiratory infections. Mm-hmm. This is simply the case because... during cold weather, people are prone to stay indoors, get into closer contact with other individuals, and that's the reason why the infections.
It's not the temperature per se.
No, it's not the temperature per se, but the different kind of behavior of the people.
Gotcha.
Especially behavior of the people is one of the factors that has to be taken into account.
Gotcha. And that was part one of the interview with Dr. Romanowski. Next week we'll have part two. And with this we come to the end of this week's edition of RAI Argentina to the World in English. I just wanted to mention that this week there was an important anniversary. It was 10 years since the approval in Congress of the same-sex marriage, a breakthrough in the history of Argentina. That was the first country in Latin America to have this right. I'm Fernando Farias. Thank you for listening. This was RAI Argentina to the World in English. See you next week.